The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, and usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, what kind of faith do we have? One portion of our faith states that we are bondservants, willingly engaged in submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. Another portion of our faith needs to be anchored in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Another portion of our faith needs to hold that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Is that fuzzy math? Nope. We'll talk about it. Next, our good friend Pastor Ray steps up to the plate to discuss here how we find the blessing zone. It's way too easy for believers to become complacent in their faith. And they walk around, they go, I've done my time with God. And they might whisper it without saying it to anybody. But God knows of no such thing while earthly oxygen fills our lungs with his air. Get it? And finally, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have the same dad, we are blood relatives, and we drink from one spiritual fountain. And that unity, no matter how hard we try to break it, will remain steadfast in the triune God, even if he has to permit persecutions in order to solidify his declarations.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I might share those a little too much. Spiritual observations. That's what I see. And my life's insanities, noive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, this is during the show. You can text us, 214-210-8483. Again, during the show, 214-210-8483. I don't respond to every single text immediately, but we did get some new texts today on people responding to the trivia question. By the way, everybody on the last trivia question got it right. Excellent job. And also, you can call 972-445-0770. And when you do that, you call 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone, and that is terrific. What we want you to be aware of is that any topic is basically open for conversation. And the reason is because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. So maybe you have something you want to ask, or you have something you want to share, a praise report like we got from Rob in the last segment or the segment before. Maybe you have an answer to trivia, which I'm going to ask you a trivia question in a second. Maybe you got a prayer request, a praise report. Maybe you're just having a thought. Maybe there's just something the Lord's been revealing to you and you want to share it. Or maybe you got a question about certain things. You're just like, I really want to know, Dave. I mean, really, what is better, this hamburger or that hamburger? You might want to know. It's okay. You can reach out on any of those things, but let's open up the trivia first. I'm not going to make this first one hard. I normally don't. How many chapters are in the book of Jude? How many chapters are in the book of Jude? If you think you know the answer, you can call in. The number is 972-445-0770. You can text in. 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. By the way, that is a lead, a directive. I'm leading you in there to be aware of going to our website to check all the different stuff out at hemustincrease.org. Go. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. And everybody who's texting in so far doing an excellent job. Every answer correct thus far. That's pretty impressive, by the way. So we're going to get to that trivia question in a split second. I just want to make sure you understand what this is all about, okay? This show's basically, in many ways, a cross between Steve Martin and Sean Hannity and Focus on the Family. A lot less Sean Hannity, but I'm just saying. That's our tagline. It's the David Spoon Experience. We want you to buckle up, little campers. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we are a fellowship, but we're not a church, and I want to make sure that you understand what I'm talking about there. There are places and pockets of fellowship the Lord has placed all over. In fact, there's 350,000 churches in the United States, okay? The Lord has a place for you to fellowship, and we support that, and we encourage that, and we believe that if that's the place the Lord's led you, that's your primary place. Financially support that first and foremost, period. Here on this show, it's just super, super duper easy. We're a fellowship, and we want to encourage one another from all different denominations, all different backgrounds, all different kinds of people, just to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. Okay, the closer we get, the closer we are. And let me say something, because one of our very, very faithful texters just wants to make sure they're not texting too much. Here's my response. Never. You can always text all day long throughout the show. I might not always respond, but I am always seeing them. So you're never bothering me in any of that stuff. I love it. I love the fellowship that we have here on the show. It's one of my great, great blessings that I get. All right, somebody's calling in, so I'm going to assume that they're going to do the trivia question, or they're going to ask me a question on which pizza is better. Something along those lines. You see how we are? Just wait till I get to the jokes. I got this other joke book. I really like it. Anyway, you can call in on the 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. I love you guys. I pray for everybody that's listening to the show. Now, what's really funny is I don't always know who's listening, but I still pray for you. And there's one thing I know. If I don't meet you here, then I'll meet you there. Or, depending on how it all breaks down, I'll meet you in the air. Here, there, or in the air. I love that. All right, are we ready? Okay, that's fine. All right, let's go ahead and have Al come on in. That's fine. This is David. Is this my brother Al?
It sure is. Salop Salone, David.
Salone, my brother. How are you?
Is that how you say it?
That's close enough.
Okay.
I love it.
I hear you and Sam talking. I'm like, man, I wish I knew that language.
Yeah, what's really funny about that is, and I will just tell you this. This is a joke. So we had to learn the brucha, which is how you bless the food. And you are trained about the brucha since you're like two. And so whenever I do the brucha, people are like really impressed. Brucha taranai elohim melcham hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And people are like, wow. And it's like, if I didn't know that, I would get whacked with a belt. So let's just, it's not that impressive, really.
Oh.
All right, my friend. All right, first I need you to answer the trivia question, and then T said you might have something else you want to share. So you have something you want to share?
No, that was it. That was it right there.
Oh, that's good.
I was going to try to pull a funny and just see if I could make you laugh.
You make me laugh. Some of your texts are so funny. I love them. All right, you still got to answer this. How many chapters are there in the book of Jude?
There is one.
That is correct, sir! And I mentioned that yesterday. I don't know how many people caught that. And in fact, if you did not hear the show yesterday or the day before, those are two pretty good shows. Yesterday definitely is worth hearing on the podcast. But I just said that the other day. Jude, one chapter. That's why we just call it verses, 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 and not chapter one.
Yeah.
Excellent job, my brother. So. Excellent work. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see y'all and talk to y'all on Monday.
You got it. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Love our people. All right. Let's get into this first thing. What kind of faith is ours? I want to say this, and you guys got to follow me just a little bit on this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. This is not actually an expository. This is what we call a DDD. Okay, all right. Simon Peter, a bond servant. That's a devotional diamond of the day. Simon Peter, a bond servant. A bond servant. So, well, I guess that's true, too. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, same kind, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me just say these things real quickly. One, the first thing that we share in our faith, what kind of faith is ours, is it is all by the righteousness of Jesus. The fact that you get to ever do good works is awesome, but you only get to do that on the borrowed air that God has allowed you to breathe in your lungs. Everything comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And by the way, man is basically not good. Man is evil. And Jesus said that three times, not even once, three times. But the goodness that we do engage with is because of the goodness of God. That's number one. Number two, the faith that is ours, it is the righteousness of Jesus, and Jesus is the Savior. Yesterday we did a Bible barrage and gave you 12 verses on how it's through Jesus and Jesus alone. I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So people are like, well, I don't like that. That's not fair. Here's God's response. Tough. It's not your house. Heaven's not your house. It's his house. And I've actually heard somebody say, well, I don't want to go to a house that's going to be, but then don't go. Get a lot of suntan lotion because you're going to need it. And then the other part about this is this part where it says Jesus is God. Now, you have to understand, this is Simon Peter, something very close to Jesus. We're going to go about 30 seconds over. Simon Peter, a bondservant apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is fully God and fully man. In Philippians 2:6, it says, who existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus is not partly God and partly man. He's fully God. And that phrase, by the way, emptied himself, should be made room for. And really what it is, it comes down to a Greek word called labono. And labono means to take 100% and another 100% and mix them together and get a new 100%. That's what Jesus did. Okay? So just in case you're wondering, it's by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is fully God and fully man. That is the faith that we have. Okay? Isn't that helpful? Died, buried, and rose again. And woo! Coming back soon. Hallelujah. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, David, this is Al.
Hi, brother. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay.
I wanted to call, so I wanted to try to get this answer in.
All right. That's a good one. I don't know if you had a chance to hear that with Matt or not, but, boy, I like that guy. He's got a, you know, he's committed to the doctrine. I love people that are committed.
I don't know. Will you put his website on Facebook or on
I can put it. I'll put it on our website. Give them a link, and okay. I'll make sure I got to get permission because I don't want to do anything where they're not. You know, I'm real. I try to be really careful, but I don't think they'll have any problem with that. So, and we won't take anything. It's good for apologetics, and we're going to use some of it. All right, here you go. Here you go. Here's your first one. Who had a late night visit from an angel who assured him that he would be safe aboard a storm tossed ship?
I don't think this is right, but I'm going to go with Peter.
So close. What's the other name that's really close to that?
Paul?
Yes, that's it! That's it! There he is! All right, that's in Acts chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. Before they had the shipwreck at the end there at 28, he said, "To relax, everybody's going to be fine. Nobody's going to die on the ship. You're all going to end up at this island, you know." And so he was telling everybody to calm down. That's the person who had the late night visit. Now, Peter did have a visit from an angel in prison in Acts 12. So you could make an argument that that was part of the answer too, but that's why we went to the safe aboard a storm-tossed ship. That's that's where we get the definition. So, good shot, though.
Very good.
Very good, my brother. You know how much I appreciate it. Good job.
Yeah, and I'll never forget that answer.
You will never forget that. Paul. Here's Paul. Here's Paul.
That's right.
Excellent job, my brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. It's a little harder than the last one, but not a ton. The last two are a little tougher. Here we go. Again, if I'm telling you right now, if you did not have a chance to hear the show on Wednesday or Thursday, I'd encourage you to check out the podcast at hemustincrease.org. It's worth it, okay? I don't always tell you that, but sometimes I do, especially yesterday's show. Thought that was pretty good. Here's the next trivia question. What book comes before the Book of Lamentations? Da-da-da-da! What book comes before the Book of Lamentations? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, somebody calling in. And so we'll probably let them do that because I have two jokes that I'm going to share. That's right, we do jokes. You think, well, you know, I don't know how spiritual doing those jokes are. Me either. I don't know either. But they're funny. All right, is somebody ready to answer the trivia question? All right, here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Samson, and Shabbat Shalom to you, brother.
Shabbat Shalom to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. This is a good question because people get caught up when they hear Lamentations. They go, what's that? You know what I'm saying? They don't know how important that is. I mean, that's where we get that book in and of itself is where you get the compassions of the Lord are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So, I mean, it's such a great, great portion. But what's the book before it? I know you know it. Let everybody know.
Book of Solomon.
That's no, right.
Just kidding.
That's right. Give it the.
It's written by Solomon, and it's a book of Ecclesiastes. Songs of Solomon.
What's the book before Lamentations? What's the prophet? The big prophet after Isaiah. Who's that?
Oh, Jeremiah.
That is right. There you go. Lamentations written by Jeremiah. That's why that's so important. So I might have thrown you off when I was giving some of the quote on it. That'd be my fault.
Good.
How are you doing?
Very good.
How are you? We got people praying for your family. So
yes, I have a question for you, David.
Sure.
Because while you are a theology geek, there is an argument by the polytheistic regarding the Ten Commandments where I believe the first commandment is Ladasha. There's no God beside Yahweh. So it's mean that their argument is, hey, God knew that there are already gods. So how would you tackle them?
Are you asking? I'm just trying to clarify. So are you asking how do you respond to people who say God already knew there weren't any gods?
Yeah, because that's why they say he gave the Ten Commandments.
Right. Here's what it is and what it comes down to. There is no God in actuality but God, but anytime you put something before God, that becomes a God for a person. And so what the Lord was trying to do is eliminate all of that set before him stuff. So even if it's somebody that's falsely worshipped, or even if it's an individual themselves, or even if it's a person. And that's what it was with Abraham and Isaac, whereas he was required to give him up before the Lord. Anything that comes between you and God becomes a God. And that's what God wants to eliminate.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, because they said, there was already Baal and the gods of the Ammonites and the Hittites and the Tikvites, whatever those
right.
were.
Right, but they weren't the true God, but then worshiping them before they worshiped God, then that became a form of a God, and he wants to eliminate all of that. There's no actual God except for God, but people make them to be gods right up until the real one shows up.
So, hey, I remember in the past you have done some study. How could I get your teaching?
All of our shows are on HeMustIncrease.org. Every show we've ever done is in the podcasts. There's not written forms, but they're all in the radio show, all going back years and years, and actually some sermons from 40 years ago. So all that stuff's on HeMustIncrease.org, but I don't actually have a pamphlet for it. Oh, I think we lost our good friend. So yeah, you got to go. That's my plug. It's not really a plug. All of our teaching. I'm going back. We've got almost 3,000 hours of teaching. That's a lot. A lot of stuff we've had to say. All right, I'm running out of time, but I refuse not to do this one joke. is that all right?
Okay. Let's do it.
All right, ready? All right, two jokes. All right. As they were on the way to church service, a Sunday school teacher reminded her students that they needed to be quiet in church. Does anybody remember why we must be quiet in church? She asked. One bright girl raised her hand and said, because people are sleeping. Come on. Come on. That's fine. All right, last one. I got to do it. I just can't stop. No, I can't. A little boy wanted to buy a toy that was expensive. He needed $100. His parents said he needed to save his allowance. The little boy thought that would take too long. So remembering what he'd learned in church, that God answers prayers, he prayed for God to send him the money. After 2 weeks, nothing happened. He decided to be more resourceful and write God a letter. When the post office got the letter addressed to God, they decided to send it to the president of the company. The president was so impressed and touched by the letter, he decided to send the boy $5. The little boy was quite happy to get the $5 in the mail. He quickly sat down to write God a thank you note. In the note, he wrote, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you sent it through Washington, D.C. I just wanted to know if you were aware that it looks like they took out $95 for taxes." That's funny. All right, I give him credit for that. Here we go. That's fun. All right, this is from Ray. There's not a lot of commentary on it, but it's really good. So let's just listen. I will spit you out of my mouth. Ooh. Medieval thinkers called it the noonday evil demon. Call it the doldrums, spiritual leprosy, lazy, or demons, or state of spiritual apathy, which leads to boredom, discontent, unhealthy, self-indulgent, and constant need for gratification. A subtle spiritual malady, a subtle spiritual malady happens or hardens our heart, causing us to turn from the giver to the gifts. to glory in what we have, to want more, to never be satisfied, to love and desire things for their own sake apart from God. Slowly we are changed inside and become less and less of our true selves, and we turn into caricatures of who God created and gifted us to be. Slowly we slip from reality into unreality. No wonder Jesus said about lukewarm believers, "I will spit you out of my mouth." He wants no part of slothful spirituality because he knows it will eventually destroy us. The Lord hates to see any of us slip into the comfort zone where it's easy to shift to neutral, cruise, and never do anything meaningful again. That's when our spirits shrivel up, our vision dies, and along with it, our hopes, our dreams, and our faith. The tragedy is we are probably only realizing about 10% of the blessings God has for us, and when we choose not to pursue the other 90% out of apathy or rebellion, we eventually lose what we already possess. But God is always reaching out to pull us back into his blessing zone. Please let him catch you. Let him bless you. It's a great statement that Ray makes, and you know I have a lot of respect for Ray. And what he's trying to say is we get to a point where we think it's enough. We get to a point where we think I've done my time or I've done this, and we don't keep pursuing. And when you get to that place, you and I don't care if you're 150, you become lukewarm. All of a sudden, what's important in the kingdom becomes less. And it is not okay to become complacent. It is not okay to say, I've done enough. It's not. And some of you, it's not an issue of going and knocking on doors and witnessing. It's not an issue of doing extra material at the church. Some of you, it's just an issue of spending really more quality time with God, more quality time in fellowship, more quality of your heart giving, more being aware of other people, more caring and praying for the welfare of other people. I mean, if Jesus has the ministry of intercessory prayer, where he's got intercessory petition, and he's interceding for us according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and in Romans chapter 8, then at a minimum and at a wonderful position, you could be an intercessory praying minister too. You're not done. There's more to do. That's the key. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I cannot pronounce the word malady. I actually went to a pronunciation site. So I was trying to read the line, a subtle spiritual malady hardens our hearts. And I was like going, malady, 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 malady. You know, you can be on radio for 1,000 years. I'd probably do that 100 more times. Just saying. Just so you can be aware, okay? Perfection doth not exist on this side of the microphone. I can promise you that. All right, let's get the next trivia question. Here we go for our next one. I hope you guys are ready for this. Who said, naked, I came from my mother's womb? Who said, naked, I came from my mother's womb? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. You know what just dawned on me? T had told me to call Troy, and I forgot to call him. I was supposed to call him the other day. Whoops. Sorry, Troy. Okay, I will try and remember to call. In my brain, you know, it does happen. All right, somebody's calling in. Hopefully it's Troy. Who said, naked, I came from my mother's womb? If you think you know the answer, somebody's calling in. We'll see if they're going to call in about that. But you can still text in 214-210-8483. Everybody who is texting doing an excellent job today. So people are spot on there. We're going to, very shortly, do our history. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about unity, because unity is one of my big, big issues. For those that do not know or are new to the show, and that does happen, I was born and raised Jewish, became a Christian about 43 years ago, somewhere around there. And I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination, both. I have my BA degree for ministry and leadership from Life Pacific College, summa cum laude, and then I have my master's in theological studies from Regent University, and I'm winding down. I'm so happy. I'm winding down on my doctorate of ministry for Liberty University, and so here's a Jewish guy that's just got Baptist and Pentecostal. I'm just a Bapticost. I have more fun with that than most people could even imagine. You know, and then I'm Jewish, and I drop that line in at school all the time, and then nobody, they rarely give me a hard time. I'm just saying. All right, so do we have somebody that wants to answer the trivia question, or do we need to just move on? She's going to let me know on that. I do want you to be aware that on Monday we'll be teaching out of Ezra as well as out of the book of Matthew, so be prepared for that. And here we go, as I'm going to be making my lean. Here, I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Doing A-okay.
A-okay. I like that. That's a good line. A-okay. Gets better than B-okay, right?
Oh, the Lord blessed me this morning because I had to take meds, M-I-T-S. Now, it's a transportation for handicapped people here in Fort Worth, okay?
Okay.
Well, anyway, I had a bad morning. I really did have a bad morning, and I was all stressed out because I thought I wasn't going to be ready. I thought I'd be in the bathroom when meds came to pick me up. But you know what?
What?
The Lord had, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please don't have him come early. Please don't even have him come on time. And the Lord answered my prayer, and they did not come on time. They were late, and that was a blessing for me.
There you go. There you go. A little bit of prayer for the Lord to give you a little bit of help. There you go. You got the help. Good for you. That's good.
Yeah.
That had to cheer you up a little.
Yeah, it did.
There you go. All right. Now, I know you know this, so we need the guy who said, naked, I came from my mother's womb. Who said that?
Job.
That is correct, Mary! You are correctamundo. Excellent job, Mary. Excellent job.
Thank you, and have a good weekend, okay?
Thank you, Mary. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Keep Mary in prayer. She's special to us. All right, let's do our history real quickly. History, history, history.
Let's go.
All righty. There is one thing in here I'm going to talk about. People are not going to like it, but it's okay. It's fine. Today is Log Cabin Day. You ever stay in a log cabin? Have you ever been in a log?
No, but I really want to.
It's cool. I mean, if you've got a cool log cabin in a great location, you know what I'm saying, where there's, you know, where it's like kind of peaceful and you hear a lot of birds and stuff like that, but it's like kind of peaceful. It's really cool. It is worth it. It's take your dog to work today. Work day. It's not a chance in the universe I would take my dog.
Well, you're not going to bring in the famous Levi.
Levi could come in because Levi would come in and he would sit down. He would just spend the whole time just sitting right there. By. If I brought Bert in, he'd be walking across your council. He would actually jump up and then walk across. Then you'd say, Bert, get down. And he would think you were just telling him, run more. That's what he would think. Now, this is hilarious, and see if anybody can pick up on this. It is National Please Take My Children to Work Day. That's for all the parents that have children that are under like 7. Please take my kids to work day. And also National Color TV Day. I got my first color TV when I was 13 years old. It was 13 inches. It was my bar mitzvah present. That was a big deal back then. Now, if it's not super ultra maximum high D, unbelievable, nobody cares. It's like, what happened? And then the last couple things to tell you, this day in 1991, Martina Navratilova, yes, I know the problems there. She won her 100th single match at Wimbledon. That is still impressive. And then 1876, Battle of Little Bighorn was Custard's last stand. That took place in 1876 on this day, June 25th. All right, let's get into this teaching. We cover everything? Yeah, pretty much everything. We'll do the website later on. Okay. John chapter 11, verse 49 through 52. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish. Now, he didn't say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also, God also, might gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. A couple of really fascinating things here. Here's Caiaphas speaking a prophetic utterance that he did not speak because he was spiritual. He spoke it because of the office that he held. He did not say, verse 51, he did not say this of his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. Sometimes God just puts it in people's mouths. That's a perfect example of when free will doesn't exactly apply. Don't get mad and don't start writing me a bunch of stuff. I'm just saying, in that instance, okay, he's prophesying. He doesn't even know he's prophesying. But that's not even the point. The point is verse 52, and not for that nation only was Jesus going to die, but in order that he might also gather together in one the children of God who are scattered abroad. There is unity in the church, even though the church has a ton of flaws, and it does. Even though there's messy, and it is, it's still one Father that makes us blood relatives. We have one Lord Jesus Christ who sacrificed his blood for us, makes us blood relatives, one Holy Spirit by which we drink, one spiritual fountain that we drink by. And in the Trinity, it is impossible to eliminate the actual unity that exists. So we talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again. God takes the position of something and makes it a practicality. Want to know how he created a unity in the early church? About 65, 68, 69 AD, he let the church be persecuted. And all of a sudden, nobody cared about their differences because it was hanging on to one another or hanging. So we know that persecution is one way that God will bring unity. Another way is prayer. When you start praying for other people and actually care about them and care about their burdens, you'll find that there's a greater sense of unity in the framework of the body. And we already said that the Trinity is a part of that. And here's another part of the unity that's in the body, and that is even if you're particular denomination is the greatest denomination ever, it's still just a part of the body. Nobody is the head but Jesus. And even if you're the right hand, you still need a left hand. You still need a left leg. You still need a right leg. You still need the feet to walk. You still need the fingers. You still need the nose to sneeze. You get where I'm going with this? And the idea behind it is that it is in actuality in the mind of God a collective. I want to be careful there, especially for those of us who are Star Trek fans. But there is a collective that God has. What are we all going to do? I have no idea. But what we know is from every tribe, from every nation, from every group, from every people group, Revelation tells us there are people praising and worshiping God in heaven. Yes. And yeah, there's going to be different people from different denominations. There'll probably be there people there you didn't think were going to be there. There probably won't be people there you did think were going to be there. That's all going to happen too. But your brother and your sister is your responsibility. Remember that question God asked? He said, "Where's your brother?" And Abel, what did Cain say about Abel? "Am I my brother's keeper?" Here's the answer. Yes, you are. That's the answer. You are your brother and your sister's keeper. Just so you can know. That's the answer. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be far.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! And the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this, sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And you go, "Oh, that's not biblical." Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up, and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I spilled my tea all over my stuff because I am very coordinated. Here is our next trivia question. Now, I always warn you when there's a little bit of a trick to it. Okay, so a little bit of a trick here. Okay? You've been warned. Okay? Jesus said, peace. Be still. Who was he addressing? Now, before you answer off the top of your head, I will tell you that this answer is in Mark 4. Jesus said, peace, be still. Who was he addressing? If you think you know the answer, so I'll kind of give you a couple of hints there, trying to help out. You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we are going to do a Greek word. We do have somebody calling in, but let's go ahead and we'll kind of coordinate that. Kind of together. We'll have them call in, but then we'll do the Greek word with the Greek music for baklava. That was my way of telling tea. You like how I did that, though? You were on the phone. I was kind of telling you.
That was a good way. You had me at baklava.
Yeah, I knew I'd get you there with the baklava. All right, here we go. This is the passage. One of the soldiers pierced his side. This is John 19:34. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. Immediately, blood and water came out, and he who had seen it has testified, and his testimony is true. The word we're looking at is testimony. Martyria. Martyria. It's martyria. Okay? Martyria. Martyria. Guess what that sounds like if you say it fast. Martyria. 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 Sounds like martyr, doesn't it? Witness. Historical attesting. Evidence. Judicial or general certification. The word describes a testimony based on what one has seen, heard, or knows. The English word martyr comes from this Greek root word. The implication that the witness is willing to die for his belief. Testimony. Mature, matura, matura, martyr, martyr. Get it? Okay. Now you know. And you are that much smarter. Hopefully. Hopefully you're that much smarter. Okay. We do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. So I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Ace.
Hey, brother Ace, how are you?
I'm struggling, but I'm here and doing all right.
Well, we're gonna.
My eyes worked on yesterday, and I still can't get my eyes back yet. But I think it's. I mean, I've got it, but it ain't clear. So I'm doing all right, and y'all just keep praying. Like I said, a broken down horse needs somebody to lift him up. So keep on praying.
Let me pray for you real quickly, okay? Let's do it real fast. Let's do it. Father, we come before you, lift up our great brother Ace. We just ask you in the name of Jesus to infuse him with joy and with confidence and refreshment and energy, which comes from you. And we just ask you to lift him up, put his feet upon a rock, put a new song in his mouth, and let him be filled with joy and strength from your anointing, from your grace, from your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You are more than welcome. You know I'll be praying for you all weekend. All right, my friend. This is kind of a trick question that I kind of threw this way. So that's, I'm glad you're calling in. We'll make sure we get it correct. Jesus said, "Peace, be still." Who was he addressing?
Well, I'm not sure what you're looking for. I just remember him on the boat through the waves.
That is correct. You are right. The reason that it was a trick question is because the question says, who was he addressing? And it's not really a who. It's more of a what. See? That's why that can be tricky. But it was the storm. It was the weather, the sea, the waves, anything you want to do along those lines. He was telling the wind and the waves. He told the wind to be quiet and the waves to be still. And if we would just do that, ask him to do that in our own minds and hearts, we would do so much better in life. Right?
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
That's right.
All right, my brother. Amen. Good job.
Well, thank you very much for your prayers.
You are appreciate welcome. It. And we will keep praying for you as well as everybody else. Good job, brother.
Okay, brother. Talk to you later. God bless you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so here we go. So, again, two things to tell you. If you didn't hear yesterday's show, please check it out on the podcast. It's worth it. Yeah, actually, if you to a lot of today's show is actually, you know, that way. All right? Okay, so here we go. Okay, so it was the wind and the waves that he told to be still. All right. John 13, 5 through 7. I want you to catch just a little itty-bitty thing and we'll be done. It's not a big deal. I want you to go on the weekend with something like kind of like to look forward to. This is what it said. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand later. What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand later. So in context, in address, you would have to just say this has to do with Jesus teaching his disciples, especially Peter, James, and John, the three that were definitely a little tighter in the scenario, that he was teaching them about service, and he was teaching them about humility. He was teaching them about a willingness to do the things that he was supposed to do, okay, that they were supposed to do and follow him in. And I get that, and we're not going to take away from that. We're not going to do anything along those lines. But every once in a while you're reading scripture, you'll notice that there is a thing that pops off the page at you and goes, hey, this is kind of a message for you. It's not something that you're willing to jump off the bridge for. The word of God is the word of God. Nothing changes. It will never change. But in this case, the idea behind this is where I'm trying to kind of lead people, and that is Jesus telling Peter, you know, what I'm doing now, you don't get it, but you will. And that is what he said. What I'm doing now, you don't get it. But you will. You'll get it. You'll understand. And for some of you out there who are going through different things, ta-da. Yeah, what the Lord is doing now, you don't get it. But you will. He'll show it to you. He'll explain it to you when the time is right. Maybe the time won't be right until you're in heaven. I don't know. Maybe the time will be right tomorrow. Maybe the time will be right in 5 minutes. I don't know. But what Jesus said is, what I'm doing, you don't realize what's going on right now. I think that's very applicable from a practical Christian point of view to say that the things that the Lord does in our lives, we don't always get at the moment. And it takes a little bit for us to go, ding, oh, that's this, or oh, that's that. And yet, the Lord never does anything in our lives for no purpose. All you got to do is read Ephesians 1:11 to know that the purposes of God get fulfilled. And so what the Lord is communicating to Peter in its fullness, in its approach, is stuff that I'm doing right now in your life. You don't get it, but you're going to, because I'm going to show you and make it plain. But that's an applicable principle for you and I, what we call the DAP, the Dynamic Application Principle, which means Scripture has application for us dynamically. And you look at this and you think, ooh, that seems so accurate, because there's many things that God has done in my life and I don't get it and I don't get it and I don't know why this is and I don't know why this is. And then later on you go, aha, aha, and you get it. And that doesn't mean that you're dull. It didn't mean, I mean, in this case, Peter wasn't dull. This was just something Jesus was setting up so that this could become a great lesson. And in the following text, Jesus talks about being the servant. He talks about him being the Lord, of which he is. But as the Lord, he's also serving his people, taking care of them. And it's obviously a fantastic illustration of all of us who are supposed to be serving one another, no matter how high of position or low of position you have. But the point I want to make is that there's things that God does in my life, in your life, in our lives, that he starts, he's doing, he's doing this activity, and you don't always get it. But you will. And he doesn't do things for nothing. And he doesn't allow things for nothing. And if you've had something happen and it's really hard and difficult and you haven't wrapped your mind around it or you don't know why it took place, I understand. I am right there with you. There are things in my past, in my present, and no doubt they will be there in my future that still happens to me in. But this is where the core of real, genuine, Christian trust comes into play, that which the Lord is doing has a purpose, has a reason, and I can rest in my confidence of his faithfulness. He will not let you encounter things that are wasteful, per se. Even if you do something that's wasteful, it's most amazing to see how the Lord is the one that brings it back around and pulls something out of it, because he works things out for good, because he doesn't waste. I mean, I know you get mad when I say this, but he didn't even waste the devil. He used him. It's like, wow, it's amazing. God uses everything because he wants to. And you know why he makes it all come together for you? Because he loves you. It's good enough, isn't it? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsor.